Thank you for me to be here, be able to be encouraged, learn with you, and encourage you as well. I've arrived on Monday from Lisbon, and I flew to Philadelphia. Philadelphia means, as you know, brotherly love, and I've been feeling that brotherly love since the beginning. With Carl's family, I already knew Carl from Portugal, but with Carl's family, with George that invited me, and from the brethren I've met in Tennessee, and from the study I had here last Wednesday as well. I really felt the brotherly love, the brotherly love we can read about in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. I also bring greetings from the church in Lisbon. We are only four there. There are some more Christians in Portugal. You are totaling six people there. And the sisters there are very encouraged for me to be here and for the opportunity I am having being here, learning, and all the learning I can take back and share with them there. Actually, this is an opportunity for growth, not only for me, but for them as well, since the sisters, they will have to do everything by themselves. Concerning me, this has been a most profitable week. All the prayers we had, the Bible studies, the devotionals, and the singing. I would like to read from Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And that's what I've been witnessing here. That's what I've been seeing here. And of course from 1 Thessalonians 4:9. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." Now, I naturally thank you as well, the opportunity that has been given to me to address the church. Although, as you notice, I'm overwhelmed by this opportunity. I have to speak in a different language. I'm used to speak to 4 or 5 people, 10 people the most, and I have a big audience here, relatively big one. Actually, concerning the message I'm giving, it's actually a report. Carl asked me if it would be possible to give you an insight about the church in Portugal, in Lisbon, the work we're doing there. And I think that's more than fair. After all, you've been playing an important part in our spiritual growth. And we realize that. And we thank you for that. As you know, Portugal is a country in Europe. The westernmost country in continental Europe. It is historically a Catholic country that had its beginnings in the 11th century. It has around 10.5 million inhabitants, and it has immigrants from ex-colonies in Africa, India, people from Brazil, Eastern Europe. Although a Catholic country by history and Christian in that sense, the culture is growing increasingly secular, humanistic, and atheistic. Laws that are an abomination to the Lord have been approved recently, like gay marriage and abortion. Religious people are mostly immigrants or Catholics, and well, there are not many Christians there. So it's in this environment we have to work. And it's an hard work. As most of you know, we are four there, as I mentioned before. There's Cremilde, there's her daughter Isabel, and they're Portuguese. There's Irene, she's Brazilian. And there's myself. There's also Fatima up north, 300 kilometers north, with her son Francisco. As in any church, members, we came from a different backgrounds, different life experiences, different problems, different challenges. But we have things in common. We were all sinners. We were reconciled with God through baptism. We were united because of the gospel, and now we try to be of the same mind, as we can read in 1 Corinthians 1:10. We try to be united and say the same things, try to be consistent with God's word. We know that what we say must coincide with what the Bible says, and we know that what we do must coincide with what we say. If we want to be good examples and have an impact on our society, and of course, if we want to make our salvation sure. In all this we claim nothing, but we praise God's name for everything He has done for us, for all the love, mercy, long-suffering. Surely the Lord has been good to us and to mankind. Naturally, we meet every Lord's Day. We have a Bible study. We have our worship service in Isabel's and Camille department. So we are so few, we don't rent a place. We used to rent a place in the past, but not anymore. And of course, we also have a weekly study every Thursday in a shopping mall, where we can as well witness to other people that can see us studying and reading from the Bible. And some of them have as well approached us and shown some interest in what we're doing there. I also have online studies with some of the sisters during the week, by internet of course, with chat programs. This is concerning the church, but of course we want the church to grow, we want people to be saved. That's the Great Commission, and we know we need to spread the gospel. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter wrote, "But sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answers to every man that asks for a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear." And that's what we're trying to do. It has been difficult so far, but that's what we're trying to do there. We talk about the gospel to our family, friends, colleagues at work, people that we don't even know, but to whom we have the chance to witness. I study with my family, with my parents, with my brothers, my sister. I study as well with a girl named Claudia, a girl that Carl and Brian Moody from Helena, Alabama. They talked to her when they presented the big picture 2 years ago, and I've been studying with her ever since. But people have not been accepting so far. After such a long time studying the Bible, they haven't accepted. Supposedly, they want to know everything there is to be known, and they're waiting for that to accept the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, we know that things are simple concerning salvation. There is simplicity in Jesus. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Sometimes, or people in Portugal, or people I've been studying with, they want to know everything. They want to read the whole New Testament or the whole Bible to know what they have to do. But the plan of salvation is quite simple. And Carl, during the study we had with him, already talked about the scheme of salvation. Things are quite simple, but you can see it has been very hard for us and for the church to grow there. We have seen no results in people being added to the church. But in this process, we have seen growth in our lives. We try to do our part knowing that God's word and the gospel have power within. We can read in Mark 4:26 to 29 the following. As he said, it's a parable. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain and in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts into the sickle, because the harvest has come. So, we know we have to do our part. People have not been accepting, but we know we have to do our part. We also have to see that maybe we are not doing it in the proper way, in the correct way, and we try to find different ways to spread the gospel, different approaches we can take, correcting what we've been doing wrongly so far. For example, one thing I realized when I was in Tennessee these last few weeks, concerning the people in Portugal, that many of them are atheists, but one thing I learned recently is that we can even share the gospel with them, even if they don't believe in God. Instead of first trying to convince them that God exists, and that he is the one that authored the Bible, and then share the gospel, we can, if they give us time, we can start sharing the gospel immediately. We can do our part planting the seed, knowing that maybe someday the person, a believer or an atheist, will come to his or her senses and maybe follow the gospel according to the gift of salvation. So these are all lessons that we've been learning a long time, and we have to put in practice there in Portugal. Yes, we have to do our part and be encouraged by it. But be that as it may, as you know, we're all human. We can get discouraged, and being such a small group, we can feel alone at times or many times. We can feel that it would be good to have the help of someone more experienced, with more knowledge. And in that way, I would like to tell you how important it was for us to Carl and Brian Moody to visit us more than 2 years ago. And Carl, Lucas, Bunting and Kelly Cook visited us last year. How important that was to us, a small group. Actually, the visitors were almost the same number as the group there. Also, Brian Moody visited us this last February. And I can tell you, brethren, that since the first visit, things have never been the same again. New horizons have been opened to us. We see things now more clearly. We know we can have your help from here, from Brian and other brethren, and we feel comfortable and cherished with that. The love, encouragement and edification example they brought was and is something we needed and we need very much, and we thank you for that. We really appreciate their brotherly love, as you can see here. Leaving their family for a while, taking a lot of their time to prepare in advance all the studies, or not having had time before preparing while they were there. We had planned, for example, to take them to visit different places, but for our sake, they preferred to use the time in more profitable ways. That is so too that we spend almost all time studying the Bible, studying God's Word, getting to know and encouraging each other or one another. Concerning the brethren from this church, we are thankful to the Lord for Carl, for leaving his family for a while in order to be with us, for the many hours he spends preparing things for both public and private studies, the big picture, the study about the church, sleeping late, waking up early, translating for Kelly and Lucas, praying, presenting public and private studies, online studies we have now, whenever there's time. We thank you, Carl, for that. We are also thankful to the Lord for Lucas, for leaving his family for a while, for the great example he was to Francisco, a young man we have there. But mainly for his adults, I may say, to see a young man following God's way. We appreciate his prayers and the messages he shared with us, and we thank you for that, Lucas. We also thank their families, Lucas' families, and we're Peg and Joe for rising Lucas, and Patricia for rising Carl. And we now would like to thank the church here. We'd like to thank the church here in behalf of the brethren there. Your care with our souls and the souls of people in Portugal is something we will never forget. We owe it to God, we owe it to you as well. Because you used your free will, your money, and you decided to send Carl and Lucas for them to be with us, to encourage us and to teach us, and for us to see their example and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now things will never be the same again, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I encourage you to go on with this good work, knowing that there are people to be saved everywhere in the world. My prayers are also with you for the important decisions that lie ahead. I thank you for the time you've granted me. Now, if anyone here is not a Christian and recognizes the sinful state they're living in, if they recognize the salvation God has provided to Jesus, through Jesus, the Lamb without blemish, recognizes what has to be done for the reconciliation to take place, we invite them to come forward as we sing.